Hello, welcome to Pittsburgh Pop. Tim Benz and Rob Owen with you as always here on Trib Live. It's your weekly slice of pop culture. Rob from TV Talk, TV Q&A, you can read him at Trib Live and those locations. You can read me, Breakfast with Benz Daily on the sports side. Rob, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was busy, but good.
Yeah, very busy week sports-wise for us over at Breakfast with Benz with the offensive coordinator change and then a Steelers game and lots going on. So it was good to get at least one day partially off for Thanksgiving, then back at it. And it'll continue to be very busy throughout November and December all the way into the holidays. And joining us right now, speaking of the holidays, a great holiday item for you to get your hands on potentially, especially if you are one who likes to revel in local Pittsburgh culture. Wanted to tell you about a new book available that you can find at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, at usual outlets where you can find books. It is Growing Up Yinzer, and it's written by Dick Roberts. Dick, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Great to be here. Thanks.
Tell us about the book and tell us why people should consider it as a Christmas item.
Well, it's a really fun book. First of all, at the end of the day, it's a book about Pittsburgh. But what makes it different is it's the Pittsburgh story told through the people that grew up here. So, I had this thought about well-known Pittsburghers, famous Pittsburghers, and how did Pittsburgh's values, traditions, and disciplines that we all know about affect their lives and help them become the people that they are today? And, what I got back was very enthusiastic response from Bill Cowher and Mark Cuban and Jeff Goldblum and so many well-known Pittsburghers, Joe Namath, Dan Marino, who really were enthusiastic about having an extended period of time to talk about the town they grew up in and the town they love.
Dick, can you tell me a little bit about the origin of the book? And I read through it and I really enjoyed the profiles, but it's interesting in that they're all written in the first person. You've got a Rob Rogers cartoon on the cover, which I recognize the artist immediately because of his distinctive style. But tell me both how you got started on it and how you decided on the format.
Well, it really goes back 5 years ago when myself, Rob Rogers, Jim Krenn, and Larry Richard started a line of greeting cards called Yinzer Cards. So they're available in Giant Eagle and Market District stores, card sellers, Hallmark stores. And the response to those cards has been amazing. So we extended that into Yinzer candy bars, chocolate-covered popcorn that we call Pittsburgh Pothole Filler. And so just one day I had this thought about these stories of well-known Pittsburghers and what it was like growing up here for them. And so I wrote up a synopsis. Arcadia Publishing loved the idea. And I thought it was best to tell those stories through their own words, not me writing about them, but just allowing them to talk about their hometown and what it's meant to them. So, the two of you have interviewed more people than I'll ever dream to. But really, I just let them talk. If you listen to the recordings, which I transcribed and then shaped up the stories,
right?
You don't hear me that much. And somebody like, Tim, I'm sure you've talked to, Coach Calipari. When I finally was able to get him scheduled after his basketball season, it was a day that he had four recruits in. And you know that he had four of the best players in America, right? After 45 minutes, I tried to let him off the hook. I said, Coach, hey, I know you're busy today. I appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this. He just kept talking. He talked for another 20 minutes.
Well, just about to say, the way you set that up, I have talked to Coach Calipari before, and I never hear myself in the interviews either. So,
well, right. I mean, and he was so great. But for the most part, I asked folks for 15 to 20 minutes and got way more than that. It gave them a chance to talk about something that people don't normally ask them about.
Who was the hardest to get?
Well, here's what happened. And this would be typical. I would reach out to them either through through friends of mine who had contacts for them, or, you know, through publicists at a network. Sure. Or what have you. You guys know the drill.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Bert Lawton, for example, helped me with Bill Cowher. But so they would say, yes, love to do it. And then it would take me 3 or 4 months to get on their calendar.
Sure.
You know, just for different circumstances. But they were all great. And really a fun project that I had a chance to work on.
So I get it from a sports angle. That's pretty easy to understand how, you know, the background of growing up in Pittsburgh dedicates you towards sports, because so many people in Pittsburgh are dedicated to sports. So, like, I could see how growing up Pittsburgh would be an easy line of conversation for a Cowher, or, you know, an owner even like Mark Cuban, or you mentioned Calipari, some of Dan Marino, some of the other sports related figures that you've interviewed, Swinkash. But what about like the Billy Gardells, the Jeff Goldblums on the entertainment side of things? How does the connection of growing up here translate into people that made it big in New York and in Hollywood?
Well, those are two good examples, Tim. First of all, Billy Gardell, and he goes into some detail in the book, but he really credits Pittsburgh with his entire approach to humor and comedy. His whole style is based on Pittsburgh and how he grew up in Swissvale and watched his father and his friends, kind of the self-deprecating humor that, you know, they were from humble beginnings, blue collar workers. And that was sort of their way of, you know, compensating for that they felt that they had to do. And they would make light of things. And that's Billy Gardell's style of humor. Jeff Goldblum goes into tremendous detail about his passion to be an actor, and talks about the very first role that he ever had in fifth grade at the Chatham Summer Arts Camp. You know, the show that they did, the part that he performed, what his performance was like, the lines that he had, and the crowds, the audience's reaction to it. And that's where he caught the bug. And every day he would take a shower in the morning. Their shower stall had a glass door, and he would write on the steam, "God, please let me become an actor." And then he would wipe it off because he didn't want anyone to see it.
Wow.
But he did go on to do the what's now called the CMU pre-college program,
right,
for 2 summers. But he couldn't get into Carnegie Mellon's theater program. So he went straight to New York and became the actor that he always hoped that he would be.
So, Dick, where can people find the book besides, like I said, usual outlets, Barnes & Noble, Amazon? I understand it's at the Pittsburgh History Museum, too. Is that right?
It is Pittsburgh History Center, Barnes and Noble, Riverstone Books, Amazon. The usual places that you can find City Books, places like that, Cards Unlimited and Shadyside.
Well, it sounds like it could be a really good stocking stuffer. I know about 10 or 15 people as I was talking to you going through my head. I'm like, oh, I can get a copy for this person. I can get a copy for this person.
Yeah,
I can get
thank a copy you. For no, this person. So it's great. I think there's certainly, you know, household names. Mm. There's also some people that you'll say, I didn't know he or she was from Pittsburgh, or you don't know anything about them, but their stories are great. And even for the household names, I think readers will perhaps learn something new or learn something unexpected.
Well, Dick, thanks a lot for taking some time to join us. Really do appreciate you carving out a few moments to talk about it. And I hope it's a big hit over the holidays. Okay.
Great, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, Rob, let's get to a few other items. Thanks again to Dick for joining us. But let's start things off with Squid Game, the challenge. I know Squid Game was a huge hit in its first iteration. How about now? What are we going to see?
So Netflix premiered this reality show based on Squid Game last week. The first, I think it was 5 episodes dropped last week. And I had an interview with one of the guys featured in those first 5, a doctor from Katanning. The next batch of episodes drops Wednesday. There's another guy from Pittsburgh, doesn't live in Pittsburgh currently, but grew up in Pittsburgh. So I talked to him for a column that'll run later this week. And basically what they did is they took all those games from the scripted Squid Game, Red Light, Green Light. They did not use Tug of War, but they used other games, the cookie game, marbles, that kind of thing, and converted it into a reality show form. And so you've got the very first game is Red Light, Green Light. There are 456 people competing for $4.56 million. So the first question I had was, how do you get to know any of them if there's 456 contestants? Well, you make your first game Red Light, Green Light, and 250 people get taken out in that game. And when they get taken out, they get hit with a black paint ball like Squid Ink, and then they're dead. So there are times where it's kind of, you can argue about whether it misses the point of the scripted series to have a reality show. But beyond that, just as a piece of entertainment, there are parts of it that are entertaining, and then there are parts of it that go on forever when they have to, like, because there are so many players, they have to break it down and like do multiple rounds of the same game. I found that got a little tedious, but when you get to know the characters and you're spending time with them in the dorm, I liked it in those instances. And both of the Pittsburgh contestants come off quite well. There are others that do not, but both Pittsburgh guys look good in it.
Now, I know you've been holding on to this one for me, but I'm just not going to get caught up on Fargo during football and hockey and college basketball season fast enough to to make it
I understand.
Timely. So let's get to Fargo. Tell us about the latest iteration of Fargo.
Okay. So have you watched any of the past iterations?
No, I mean, I saw the movie. I love movie, but I have not seen...
If you love the movie, for anyone who's loved the movie, I would recommend going back and starting with Fargo season 1. All of them are on Hulu. If it's an FX produced show, Noah Hawley is the showrunner. And for the most part, they are all very much in keeping with that style of dark humor and sort of, you know, crime story that you had in Fargo in a Midwest setting. Some of them are very reminiscent of Fargo in terms of the Minnesota, North Dakota of it all. The 4th season with Chris Rock was very much Kansas City set. So there are times they've strayed a little, but all of them are connected in one way or another. The first one has a connection to the film, and then the other ones, they're all connected. And I've generally enjoyed all of the seasons of Fargo. There was one, the 3rd season with Ewan McGregor, did not care for that one so much. It was, at the time, the most contemporary of them. This new season is even more contemporary. It's set in 2019, but I really enjoyed this new season. Juno Temple, Keeley from Ted Lasso is the star. She is amazing because it's such a far cry from Keeley, the character she plays. I have to admit, I did not have the imagination to think this actor could do this role, but I'm glad Noah Hawley did because she's excellent. Jennifer Jason Leigh is in it doing kind of a crazy, not Minnesota accent that grew on me after a while. And then John Hamm plays the heavy in this, and he's quite good. And it's very much a commentary on current America. It starts with a huge fight that breaks out at a school board meeting. They never really tell you what the fight is about, and it doesn't matter because we all know the various topics that the fight could have been about. And it just, it's extremely well done, and it's got that dark biting humor that if you love the movie, you would love it in this Fargo.
All right. Well, when I can get caught up, I will get caught up. Boy, John Hamm is getting awful used to playing the heavy, because that's what he was at the end of The Morning Show as well.
Right. Well, and I, the other thing I wanted to say about Fargo real quick, each season is its own discrete story with its own characters there. So if you didn't watch season one, it doesn't matter. You could jump in and start at the start of season four and it would be just fine because it's new characters, new story. It's just the tone of it is what ties, and the setting to a, some degree is what ties it all together.
Rob, what do we have for TV Talk and TV Q&A?
Sure. So TV Talk, as I said, I'm going to be chatting with the other Squid Game guy later this week. We've also got November Sweeps ratings coming up. And then TV Q&A, is Chris DeRose still working at KDKA TV? Find out.
All right. So you can read that there. Breakfast with Benz every day this week, leading up to the game against the Arizona Cardinals. I'll be on the DVE pregame show at 9 o'clock at Stage AE as well before that kicks off. And then it's a short week, and the Steelers will be on Amazon Prime for the game against the Patriots. There's a reminder. Rob, get that bullet loaded in your gun. Be ready for that reply.
Which means WPXI locally.
Yes, Channel 11 locally will have the game between the Patriots and the Steelers, and roughly all 14 points that will be scored in that one. So be prepared. All right, we'll be back with you next week here on Pittsburgh Pop.